This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Business with Sfiso Skanjana. Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. and Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on Power 98.7.
Just 37 minutes after 6 o'clock, Power Listener. And of course, before we get into the other stories, a couple of reflections on some interesting developments happening in the U.S. at this point in time. And particularly just looking at what's been happening with companies and their cash positions. And it's an important one because it's really, I think, one been an ongoing conversation that we've been having. PayPal also announced they're sacking about 2,000 people. So the tech industry, I think, has been coming under quite an immense amount of pressure in the context of the U.S. In fact, some have been suggesting that it may be oversold. But also there's been a big conversation around, is this the start of The Big Short, where then the view is that, in essence, that stocks are fully priced in and actually they're overpriced at this point in time, put in that short position and start to realize some gains. So it's an interesting one to see as it pans out, to see are we going to get a short squeeze or is that Big Short really going to materialize in a meaningful way? And certainly, I think a couple of the ones that are, I guess, worth noting in terms of what's happened with the cash balances between 2021 and their most recent financial filings. Certainly, Berkshire has come through. It had a cash position, and that is, of course, Warren Buffett. $81 billion 2021, $32.6 billion at this point in time. Amazon, $96 billion. 2021, $58.6 billion at this point in time. Microsoft, $125, now $99. Apple, $63, now $48. Google, $139, now $116. And also an interesting story, Meta announced that they're doing a $40 billion share buyback scheme, yet they've only got $43 billion in their account. Oh, what a time to be alive. I told you, those tech stocks are going to be an interesting set of stocks to continue following at this point in time. But certainly, Power Listener, we did say that we will continue the conversation, particularly around the tourism issue, particularly on the back, of course, I think big questions that are being asked around SA tourism and their ability to read the room at this point in time. But I think we'll move beyond just the politics of it, really, I think, to get into some of the economic nubs of this, and so that we really do get a fuller picture around the intent around this particular MOU and how does that translate going forward. And so we are joined by Mamano Masonto Ndlovu, who is the Chief Operations Officer at SA Tourism. Mamano Masonto, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. How are you this afternoon?
I'm great. Thank you, Mama. How are you?
I'm very good.
I mean, I think as I was doing the intro, I was saying that, of course, many people have really given, you know, a bit of a, you know, whiplash back to SA Tourism and, of course, the ministry, particularly around, you know, saying how else could we optimally utilize, you know, close enough to 1 billion rand. But then, of course, there's been questions around, well, there's budget allocation and all of those things. I think I want to take this conversation to a little bit of a different direction and say we've heard that this presents a market equivalent of marketing exposure of close to 6 billion rand. So maybe walk us through the economics of the deal and ultimately how it landed to 900 odd million at this point in time.
Thank you very much for having us this evening. The critical thing is to really highlight first and foremost that, you know, we have a mandate to market South Africa domestically and internationally, to actually bring in the tourists here. We have got a research that we conduct every 3 years. We call it the market prioritization investment framework, which will highlight what markets are important to South Africa, where there's a propensity to bring in a lot of tourists. Mm. So with those markets, we've identified 24 markets, which are the key markets for South Africa. UK and Europe, in general, those are the critical markets for us.
When you say critical, and that's why I'm asking for us to get into a little bit of the numbers conversation here. Mm-hmm. Is that what have we modeled that we think that if we go and attack this market, we may generate 4 billion rand per year for the next 15 years based on 1, 2, 3. Those are the kind of, I think, pieces of analysis that I think will make the story, I think, even fuller.
So what we've done, we've looked at first and foremost where we are fishing. So that is why I talk about the core market for South Africa for attracting tourists into the country. The UK and Europe being one of those markets. We've also looked at where we are in terms of tourism and the recovery coming out of COVID-19. And those are some of our drivers. What we've also done is to look at how are we tracking in terms of our recovery, looking, comparing to the world. So globally, we found that the sector is actually recovering at about 60% when the world is at 73%. So meaning that we are still lagging behind in terms of our numbers. But add to that another layer is that our numbers in terms of our targets, we are targeted to achieve 21 million tourists, international tourists to be specific, by 2030. The current projections show us that in the way we are moving at the moment, we are only going to achieve 15.3 million. So we have another 15 million, which we are behind with, 6 million. So there is a lot of things that we had to take into account in terms of saying, what do we need to do then to really stimulate the market?
But I mean,
now,
yes,
the
mama.
Critical thing is that we then need big things. So in looking at this proposal and contemplating whether it is one of those things that we need to be looking into, we look at one, is there a way that we can be able to convert people to come to South Africa? We then look at a way of saying, what is the global exposure that we're going to get out of this? We then look at the impact on the economy, looking at that market being a high-spending market if we compare to all our markets. So those are some of the things and factors that we take into account to sort of say, what do we need to do in terms of stimulating the market and growing our tourism in order to achieve a very big, audacious target of 21 million tourists by 2030.
No, and I mean, I understand that if we do have a delta that we need to close between 21 million and 15.3, we've got to do something differently. But again, I'm trying to just get to the number of the economics of it all, because the UK is the only country, one of the only kind of big countries in the context of even the World Economic Forum report that came out, expecting them to remain in economic doldrums. In fact, expecting them to get into a recessionary context. And so the average spend basket coming from people who particularly followed Tottenham would be coming out of the UK. And so already that is a constrained consumer environment, already on the back of people who've had big issues around energy costs, etc. And so when you then model this thing, I'm trying to understand which tourists are we expecting, what is the average basket size of the expenditure, and how is then this deal going to be a critical enabler for that?
So what is interesting in looking at these numbers is that the opportunity presents to us 616 million followers globally. So
followers, what is followers, Mama?
These are the people who actually are the fans of the team, if you like. So these are the people that we want to be targeting. So 616 million, we don't even come to that. Just looking at the UK market alone, we only got 430,000 in 2019. 2022, that dropped to 283 coming out of COVID. And we're looking at how do you stimulate then those numbers back? So we have to look at the aggregated market and groups, and that's what we're looking at. And this, the sports tourism presents those aggregated sort of.
What conversion ratio are you expecting out of that 600 million followers that I guess you've alluded to?
So we're looking at various permutations where we've said that, you know, you could take the numbers to say if I only just got 10%, if I only just got 10% of that, what am I looking at? And 616, if I only just converted 10%, what am I looking at?
No, but I mean, how do we arrive at 10% as the focus, Mama? This is the point that I'm trying to get to, is that how do we model? And so, because if the average, so it's like, for me, the logic would say, we've followed when people did this, their average conversion ratio was this, based on the size of the team, based on this and this and this and that. And therefore, we expect a conversion ratio of X amount on the 600 million tour followers that we're talking about. That translates into this sector of tourism, etc., etc., with the average basket spend of this much. And therefore, we think that this 900 million will give us an ROI of X amount over a particular period. That's the kind of logic that I'm hoping that we can get.
Unfortunately, you won't get that at this particular point in time, because we also we cannot be giving you the specific detail that we have been sharing with a particular team. So, but what we know, what our basis, we're looking at, first of all, what is our historic numbers coming out of that market? What is the required rate that we're looking for in terms of the future in terms of 2030? We've worked out that currently we need about 13% CAGR in order to just meet the 15.3 million, which is still not the number that is required in terms of reaching the target of 2030. We've calculated to reach those numbers, we need to be growing annually at 18% compounded growth. And we are nowhere near those if you look at all the dynamics that we are faced with at the moment as a country. So that is why we said we're exploring and we're looking at big opportunities and sort of saying, what is then the big opportunity? What is there a propensity for us to be able to actually get a slice of that market? We've looked at the case studies, and I know you will say that, oh, Rwanda is not similar, but we had to look at other markets, that, other destinations that have done this kind of work before, maybe not to the same scale. And they have shown significant growth, 8% growth in tourism, which has got quite a very slow growth, is a very good growth, which is what Rwanda has shown. So we looked at those case studies and we sort of compared to say, based on what we have as a country in terms of our experiences, based on what where South Africa is, what we can offer, and the fact that the European market is already seeing South Africa as a favorite market. We just want to fast track the growth. And we're then looking at what are then the big ideas. So this is one big idea, but maybe tomorrow there'll be a bigger idea. But it is important for us, first of all, to acknowledge the fact that we cannot continue doing the same things we've been doing for the past 20 years, 27 years, 30 years, and hope to get a different result. Our numbers have now been significantly impacted by the pandemic. So the big thinking to stimulate the market is required. Your question would be, is this the best deal? That is why we were exploring, so that we can explore and do all those things and get to a point that says, yes, this is the perfect deal. The numbers are definitely going to come.
Sure, but and I mean, I think on that point, Mama, and I do want to very quickly take a caller that's coming in as well to just engage on the conversation. Coffee, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. I mean, I have to call. I haven't called on your show for so long. You're doing a brilliant job. You ask not only the right questions, but the questions that really matter. Where are the numbers that justify the logic of the decision choices that they've made to focus and identify the UK as a potential sources for tourism revenue, when we know that their growth is completely, you know, very low? In the next 5 to 10 years, they're not going to be our best customers in terms of tourism. I don't hear two things. One is about China. China has opened up. We know China has got about 150 million and more tourists going around the world. I haven't heard anything about this. The second point is, what is the focus on the African continent? Mm. We know under President Mbeki, and even before, a little bit after that, the best top spenders in tourism in Africa were top-hand African leaders or African customers. What has happened with that? Why are we focusing on the UK? Why are we not focusing on next door in our backyard?
Sure. And certainly, I think, Kofi, thank you very much for those questions. Mama Nomasondo, I think there is a question that I'd like you to just note, and we'll take one more caller. It's a question around simply, one, why don't we get, coming out of, at this point in time, your office, South African Tourism, the process of elimination that was done, and say we looked at these markets, this was what we modeled would be our return on equity or return on investment in this market, in that market, in that market, and therefore we funneled it into this decision based on these analytics. And I think that's one other thing. And then two, of course, is around the Afro-optimism as well as an opportunity to continue double-clicking. I mean, our PSL is even small compared to some of the sports tourism you see in other parts of our continent. And so certainly, I think there is a big question that is being asked about, have we exhausted our options in our thinking? Tulani, I'll come to you as just a quick reflection on your part as well.
Okay. Can I just come in now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thank you. Mine is just a quick one. One is that I think this is just a good deal for us as a country, because I've heard that you guys, you specifically were talking about or limiting this to the fans of Tottenham, and that is not the case in here. Because if Tottenham is playing Liverpool, for example, one cannot say that you're not attracting, or they cannot see our advert on Tottenham's jersey, for example, skit, for example. And that means that we would attract the fans of Liverpool if we are playing Liverpool. And so if we are playing Manchester, the same goes. And for me, why that team? I mean, you look at the English Premier. Everyone watches English Premier League, at the lovers of soccer. And some of us, we don't even watch local games, because what they are offering, it's not interesting for us. And it's not only here in South Africa, globally, they watch that. Not only Tottenham, for example, Tottenham, but if Tottenham plays, for example, Liverpool plays Manchester United,
Thanks, Tulani.
Champions League.
No, point taken, Tulani. And we'll ask Mama Nomasondo to come back and lean in on both the points that have been made. Mama Nomasondo?
Yes, thank you so much from the two callers. Just to highlight one thing from the first caller, I think is it Kofi, is that when we look at what I call the focus market, the 24 focus market for South Africa, this is where it's the whole globe. We have got Asia as a key market. As South African Tourism, we actually have got offices both in China and Japan, because it is one of those very key markets also at the back of the whole BRICS arrangement. So those markets, they remain our key focus market. What is interesting is that what we are hoping to get from this deal is that it's not only just people from the UK. Let me make that very clear. We are looking for the global exposure. The deal gives us visibility in over 1 billion homes globally, as well as access to major markets of the hotspot players that they come from: South Korea, France, Brazil, Portugal, and including our very own in Africa. So we not only, may I just be very clear, it's not only about the UK, but what will happen in the UK, we have extra benefits in terms of the stadia, in terms of the people that are coming into the stadium within the UK. But we all know, we all watch the EPL. At least twice a week, they'll be playing a different team. And as Tulani is saying, we get, eyeballs from the whole of the globe those times that these guys are on television. So I also want to dispel the fact that, we're not focusing on Africa. Let me just highlight something for you. As we speak right now, our numbers show that our overseas market, we get 73% of our arrivals from the African region. So it remains a very important part of the work that we do. And we do know how popular the EPL is on the African continent. So, you know, it is not only going to be watched in the UK, in London. And no, we know this is a global, it's got a global viewership. So we do have opportunities to then get the global exposure. And when I talk about the 616 million followers, it's across the globe. So it is a global deal, not only UK. It will even reach Asia. As you know, the world is moving to actually really chase what's going on in Asia. And China right now has just reopened. We've got our offices there. We're pushing the work. We continue to do the work that we've been doing in terms of campaigns, activities. In fact, in the next week, we are going to be doing a South African roadshow in India and China, where we take South African products to go and trade partners to go with us to those two markets to market South Africa to those particular markets. So that's I think,
yeah, and I mean, I don't think the call is that there's no work happening at SA Tourism. I think the call that is coming from citizens is for us to show, for us to see the return on the investment, and for us to see it, you know, clearly articulated. And so that when we say we expect X amount of reach, we expect that will convert into this amount in this particular subsector within the tourism within the tourism industry. And so we expect it to drive in homestays like this and that. And I think that is maybe the challenge that we'd like to bring back to you, Mom, and say, while then we are hearing all the noise that is happening around this, maybe go back and firm up those numbers and communicate them back to the economy so that we see the real return on investment that we're expecting to see from this. Because at this point in time, it doesn't sound entirely convincing as well that we have modeled those numbers to the T and to understand, and it's modeling, but at least it gives you the basis on which you can qualify the assumptions you made when you modeled a certain number. And that's why I was asking earlier, and say, even if you say if we get 10% from the 600 million following, I'm saying, how do we get to the 10% assumption that we're making? What are case studies that we've used, etc.? So just really, I think, Mama, for me, rounding up some of the reflections that have come through is about that the piece that is still missing here is understanding the economics of this deal. And hopefully then over the next few weeks or days, you'll come back to the economy and feedback on some of those numbers. And Nkosi, Mama, wishing you a lovely evening further.
Yeah, and just before you close off, I just want to really highlight the fact that we did say earlier on at the briefing that it's unfortunate that, you know, we've had to talk about this deal prematurely before a whole lot of stuff was ready. And we did say that at the time that we're ready with all the numbers and we are in a position to disclose, then we'll be able to. But I guess the point is
that for us is that we would have wished that you would have done those numbers first, because now you've committed to that.
We're dealing with a leak, which was not part of the plan.
Sure.
The plan was that when everything is done, we will come to the media and launch this properly. So this is not the launch.
Ah, it's been launched already. Have a lovely evening, Mama.
I mean, I know what you say, but not a lot. We are responding to somebody. Thank you so much for having us. And and I look forward to talking to you when we have finalization around this deal.
So, Nomasondo Ndlovu, Chief Operations Officer, SA Tourism.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.